Welcome to Get Connected, Katie and Kay's monthly public affairs show about the people and organizations that make up the giving and service community from Aspen to Parachute. I'm Amy Barr, your host. I serve as the Executive Director of United Way Battlement to the Bells, and this program is an opportunity to share my insights and connections with local nonprofits. Now, each month, I interview different charities, hear from dedicated volunteers, talk to the donors that support charitable work, and tell you about ways you, too, can volunteer. This month's show features Nikki Delson and Ron Kokish. We'll discuss local nonprofit High Country RSVP, which stands for Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And as always, we'll offer up-to-the-minute announcements about volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events and charitable needs in our area. RSVP is a retired senior volunteer program, and it acts as a valuable clearinghouse of volunteer opportunities in Garfield County for seniors, and it also serves as a catalyst for developing a new core of executive and professional volunteers. In Garfield County, High Country RSVP is an invitation for any senior volunteer to serve here in the community. Ron Kokish is a local volunteer, a retired social worker, and a member of the Board of Advisors for RSVP. So he's here to give us more information about RSVP and how our interested listeners also can get involved in promoting the well-being of our local seniors. So Ron, tell our Katie and Kay listeners more about High Country Retired Senior Volunteer Program, which we know locally as RSVP.
Right. Well, RSVP has been around locally, I think, since 1973, and that's also the year that it was started nationally. John F. Kennedy and his folks conceptualized it in the 60s, and then it finally got officially funded in 1973. And it's a national program, and locally, there are really two parts to it. And then kind of a third part, maybe. The first part is traditional RSVP services, where it's like a central clearinghouse for volunteers. So when I moved here after 37 years in a small town in Northern California, I wanted to get involved in this community. I went to RSVP, and they had a whole list of volunteer work that I could do, and they'd refer me to different agencies where I was interested in working. The one that I actually went to work for was Valley View Hospital. I delivered some lunches for them for several years, Meals on Wheels. But they have other, you know, if you want to work with animals, they have the local animal shelter care, Habitat for Humanity. They refer people to different agencies. We call them workstations. So the initial service is really to the volunteer. The director or the volunteer coordinator, they're two different people. We'll interview you, see what you're interested in, what kind of availability you have, what kind of skills you have, and then get you hooked up with the right agency.
Well, so it really kind of introduced you to the community in
right.
a certain way.
Right. But the second part of RSVP that's actually, to me personally, more interesting is what we call the signature programs. We've got four of them and a fifth one that's starting up that you're going to tell us about later.
Uh-huh.
The first four that we've got are we do people's taxes. We help people with their Medicare programs.
That's a big one.
It is, but I mean, it actually serves about the same number of people as the tax program.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Several hundred people a year in each of those. Sometimes it's the same people. And when I say we help them with their Medicare, we help them manage it because Medicare is very complicated,
sure.
just like taxes are. We have a driver's education program that we get through AARP. For senior drivers, I've taken it a couple of times. It's pretty helpful. It gives you a small discount on your insurance, too, but I don't think that's why most people take it.
And how often is that run by RSVP?
Periodically, 3-4 times a year.
That's
they always
thought.
Announce it in the paper when they're going to do it. And then the fourth program is kind of unique to this community. It's called the Handyman Program. And it, basically, we do everything from shovel people's sidewalks. I work in that program. I help people with their computers. I'm pretty good with that.
Uh-huh.
Clean them up when they've got viruses or they're clogged up or they don't know how to work their software. We'll change their light bulbs. We've built handicap ramps. We've renovated houses. I think we once roofed a house, although I think we're not supposed to do that anymore because of a liability.
Liability,
yeah.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's really, you know, a one of a kind. I don't know other communities that have that. It's just locally conceived, locally run, And those are the four signature programs. Altogether, there are 22 volunteers working in those programs. I work in three of them, taxes, Medicare, and handyman.
And then this is for 55 and older, is that right?
You have to be 55 and older.
And you have to qualify in a sense of needing some assistance?
Oh, you mean to get the assistance?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to be 55 and older, but we don't really turn people away because they're a little younger. Sometimes they're disabled. Most of our clients are older, but that's not an issue for us.
How is RSVP funded? Because it's part of a national program as well, but can you discuss that a little bit?
A lot of our money comes through the national program, the Senior Corps. We get money from state health insurance program because of our Medicare work. Those are big chunks of funding. We get tremendous local support from Colorado Mountain College. That's really great for us and I think great for the college. I'll talk more about that.
Sure.
They give us office space. They give us meeting rooms and classrooms when we need them for our work. They pay our utility bills. They give us the furniture. I think they give us the computers.
And I've been to the RSVP office in the CMC building behind City Marketing,
right.
Glenwood Springs on
right.
Blake, right? And
in the back part of the building that is called the Senior Center.
Yep.
They also give us technical support when we need it for research or getting the computers working again or things like that. And then we teach some classes now, and they're taught through CMC. So it's not just the driver's ed classes. This spring we'll be teaching class in disaster preparedness. We'll be teaching a class that I'm going to take, I'm really interested in, called Living Well and Dying Well, addressing issues, end-of-life issues for older people.
And that's going to be coming up in the spring semester.
I think it's actually in January. You'd have to look up the dates on the it's in the college catalog. I mean, the college
I just got it in the mail.
Yeah, it's a college course, continuing education kind of course, but RSVP volunteers teach it.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited about seeing us expand our classes for seniors.
Sure. Well, you're kind of a super student, it seems, too. But so I have to ask you, when it comes to our Get Connected community program that United Way runs, I like to include a discussion every month on volunteering on this show. Mm-hmm. So tell us, as far back as you can remember, what was your first volunteering event?
Probably I saw my mother drop something on the floor and picked it up for her.
Really?
Because that's really when you talk about, there's organized volunteering. And I don't remember ever doing any of that before I came to, I can't say. I mean, I was a clinical social worker. That was my career.
Oh, okay.
And I worked for an agency. And then at night, I ran programs sometimes that the agency needed to have run.
And unpaid help.
And they gave me the facilities for it, but I just ran it on my own time.
Yeah.
Conducted different kinds of groups or classes. So I don't really know. At times, Nikki and I, you'll talk with her later.
Sure.
We worked in a private practice together. Uh-huh. We had our own clinic. We would run programs out of the clinic that people didn't necessarily pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not like, now I'm a volunteer. I think everybody's a volunteer. Your neighbor has a broken leg and you go out and you shovel their driveway and that's volunteering. And if you happen to have been sent there by RSVP to do it, then it gets counted on somebody's hours and
work.
And some government money changes hands.
Yeah.
But I think everybody's a volunteer and everybody's a volunteer for the same reason, because it makes you feel good to do it, because human society is based on people helping each other. If we didn't do that, we'd just be lone animals in the woods.
We'd be the amoebas.
Yeah, so we do it for our own sake. It's really not altruism. It's for our own sake.
Well, okay, and I would agree with that. Yeah. And so how did you come to serve on the RSVP Advisory Council, which is kind of a board of directors, but it's an advisory council?
Well, we don't get to direct anything.
I know.
But we get to give advice. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
And somebody invited me. The director at the time invited me, so I said, okay. It's a requirement, actually, for the agency to have an advisory council.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's interesting, sometimes it's not, but, it's a part of volunteering we want this government money, so we have to meet their standards.
Well, I have to go back to this then. So on funding, some money comes from the government, and your volunteer hours are translated into some funding that comes back to RSVP, certainly not to you volunteers. But do the various towns and the county, I assume, here helps also?
Yes, a lot of people help, and the county helps us.
Uh-huh.
County Human Services Commission makes recommendations. Then the board gives us some money.
Yes.
Then we get money from the city of Carbondale, from Newcastle, Rifle, Little Parachute. The only city that doesn't give us any money is Glenwood Springs.
And is that just a yearly decision?
It's a yearly decision, year by year. They have given us money in the past, and the last couple of years they haven't. We don't really know why. We have some ideas why. The ideas involve personalities on their advisory commission, so I'm not going to mention the individuals, but I think it would be nice if the city of Glenwood, if one of the two of the councilmen took a look at what's going on that commission, because the fact is more of our recipients of our services, our direct services, not referral services, live in Glenwood than any place else.
And that's where you're also headquartered.
And that's where we're headquartered, and they don't give us any money. But every other town is really generous. It's not large amounts, but they're ways of saying thank you. We appreciate the services.
So if someone wants to volunteer or get more information, is there a place that they can call RSVP?
Yes. It's 947-8461 or 8462, either one. 947-8461 or 8462, and that, is the staff numbers. Then there are different numbers if you want help with your taxes, if you want help with your Medicare, if you need a handyman. But, there's too many numbers, and there's no point in saying them on the radio, just 8461, 8462.
Okay.
And then they'll tell you the right number to call, or you can look on your website, on the Get Connected website, or High Country RSVP website, which needs some work, but I think the numbers
are
there.
I like that website. I got a lot of information. So thank you, Ron, for coming in today.
Thank you, Amy. Pleasure being here.
You're listening to Get Connected. I'm your host, Amy Barr. Tracy Gurley, a United Way board member and an early childhood educator with the Roaring Fork School District, will offer a selection of the latest community volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events that are also posted on our Get Connected pages at unitedwaybb.org. Now, here's Tracy.
Welcome to Get Connected, a way to link volunteers and donors with the organizations that need them. My name is Tracy Gurley. If you are looking for an opportunity to volunteer and want a project that fits your interests, go to unitedwaybb.org and sign up through the free Get Connected link on the right-hand side of the United Way homepage. Check the boxes for types of volunteer activities that interest you. When your interests match the needs of a nonprofit organization, you will instantly be linked and contacted by that organization to see if you want to volunteer, or you can simply use the unitedwaybb.org website to follow your favorite charity. United Way does not use or share your contact information. On the goal bar at the top of the homepage, you can simply click on the Get Involved link to find a listing of volunteer opportunities and the calendar of events. Here are some new, timely opportunities to get connected with volunteer needs and winter events in our listening area. The Snow is Falling and Sunlight Mountain Resort is gearing up to present its 30th Annual Skier Appreciation Day, scheduled for Friday, January 6, 2017. Skier Appreciation Day is the signature fundraiser event for the United Way Battlement to the Bells, and it also will include a celebration of Sunlight Mountain Resort's 50th anniversary. Staying true to the 50th anniversary of Sunlight Mountain Resort, the Skier Appreciation Day will include lots of tie-dye, flower power, and 60s music, not to mention drastically discounted all-day lift tickets. The Après Ski Celebration will feature the ever-popular best-themed costume contest, with the winner chosen by the crowd, capturing a Sunlight Mountain season ticket, drawing prizes including skis, a snowboard, and many offerings from local merchants. For further information, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. A six-week course to teach parents how to prepare and shop for healthy, low-cost meals while empowering them to raise healthy eaters, Cooking Matters for Parents will meet once a week for 2 hours for six class sessions starting next Tuesday evening, January 10th, at the River Center in Newcastle. For more information, go to our United Way website. Do you have debts that never seem to end, money that never lasts until the end of the month, or more expenses or less income than you had before? Then sign up for the Dollar Works 2 program. This program is sponsored by Aspen Family Connections, Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork Schools, and Catholic Charities. For the 3 evening classes, January dates, program dates in March, and more information, including contact information, go to our United Way website and click on the Get Connected pages.
Thanks, Tracy. Welcome back to the second segment of our two-part show about RSVP. Nikki Delson is here in the KDNK studios to brief us on a new program. She's developing this program to help seniors, their loved ones, and caregivers to identify nonprofit organizations and local government agencies that can help provide necessary services. So, Nikki Delson, just like Ron Kokish, your husband, you've probably logged a few thousand hours of volunteer service in our local community. And just like my question for Ron, tell us how you kind of caught that volunteer bug. As Ron said, it just kind of happens.
I was raised in a family where contribution was just part of the way of life. And so I never thought of it as a special thing that I was driven to do or to look to do, but it was just how we grew up, living in a very tight-knit community, having a large family, and being responsible and responsive to the needs of those around us.
You grew up in upstate New York, is that right?
No. I grew up in New York City.
In New York City, okay.
In Queens. And after I moved out of the city and all of the children left home is when my parents moved upstate New York.
Okay. So it's quite interesting in such a large borough, or city, I guess we'd call it out here, but the large borough of Queens, you were involved in community activities, and everybody says, oh, New York City is such a nameless, faceless place, but apparently not.
I think the first time that I did something that was kind of outside the immediate community that I would think of in terms of volunteer is that I went to a very overcrowded high school that was run on triple sessions.
Really?
Three different sessions in order to accommodate all of the students. I think there were 5,000 students in the high school. It was so overcrowded that sometimes we had to sit two at a desk. And I came to school one day, and there was a bus with people from the Parents Teachers Association going to speak to the mayor of New York about the overcrowding. And so I remember talking with them, and they said, well, we need a student to really represent our point of view. And so I said, oh, I'll get on the bus and go with you. Let me just call my mom and see if it's okay for me to cut school. And so I went to the mayor's commission
to
speak about the overcrowding in the high school. And so I guess that would be a volunteer opportunity.
I think it's a great citizens initiative. I mean, really, kids could learn a lot from that. Well, so you and I were talking at length about your experience, which led you to seek out Patty Daniels, who is the executive director of RSVP, which Ron and I were talking about, and that's the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. Now, I found it to be an all too familiar yet shocking tale of a concerned relative trying to find the best care for an aging loved one. Share your story with us. It was just fascinating what you discovered.
Just as a preface to this story, so I have, my mother is 99 years old.
Wow.
At the time that I'm starting this story. And she lives upstate New York, about 8 or 9 miles from Woodstock. And my younger brother lives very close by, and she has been living on her own, in her own home, taking care of herself with a very large community of people around her that she really has cultivated over the 30, 40 years that she's lived in this community. But she was 99, and I get a call from my brother sometime in July of 2015 telling me that she was in the hospital, that her blood pressure was, they were unable to regulate her blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And the calls went over a couple of days, and he said, gee, I think you really should come back because she's very fragile and she's not doing well. And as it turned out, the hospital over-medicated her without looking at the medications that she had currently taken. And
that she came in with,
that actually. She came in with, right? They did not have good medical records or ways of attending to getting her records prior to her admission into the hospital.
Which must be an all too familiar problem as well.
And I think that Ron probably could also talk about those issues in terms of medical records here, but this is a different story. We were actually on a vacation in New Mexico and came back home from that vacation and closed down our house, packed our dog and all of our stuff in the car, because I didn't know what it was that she needed. All I knew is that she was very fragile. And actually, I headed to New York thinking that we might be burying her.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm sure with an elderly relative.
And, you know, I had talked with my mom. There was like I had no unresolved issues with my mom. If she were to die, it would have been sad. But she lived a wonderful life and she had never been sick and she had family and friends around her. But nonetheless, it's my mom and I'm very close to her and it was very sad. And so we headed back to New York and tried to see, well, she's was released from the hospital and she's not dead. And it doesn't look like she's going to die immediately. So what does she need?
And there you are. You've packed your car. You're kind of floating on your own island there, waiting to see what happens.
That's true. And I have a social work background.
And you know what? Thank goodness. Really, your relatives are very lucky.
Dealing with bureaucratic systems does not intimidate me. And I think in some ways it helped me because I had, rather than focusing all of my energy on losing my mom, I was able to focus all of the energy on what is it that she needs. How can I help her with this end-of-life kinds of issues get everything that she needs? And what I realized is that there were a tremendous number of services available and no one central place to go access them in New York.
In that geographic area of Woodstock, New York, upstate.
There was not even a central place to say she needs a wheelchair or she needs to have... What do you call those
walkers? The walkers.
Walkers,
sure.
Adjusted to her particular height. She needed in-home care services. She needed Meals on Wheels delivered to her door. She needed somebody to come in. She needed in-home care services. She needed legal advice. We needed legal advice. The family needed legal advice. There was a tremendous number of things that we had to do in order to help her access what was available. And so we spent 3 months doing that and eventually was able to get all of the services in place. And she slowly got well enough for me to feel like I can go home. That took 3 months. We came back home and I talked to Patty shortly. This is in October, I think November of 2015. And I said to Patty, you know,
At RSVP,
right. Patty Daniels, that I think the same thing is true here, that there are tremendous services available, and it's very difficult, particularly for seniors, to access them or for even the family members of seniors who are trying to get the services for them to know who to call and what steps to take. Mm-hmm.
And we often tell people, please call 211. In our area, we in Human Services say that. But when you're an older person, that might be hard.
Well, and sometimes you get, you know, so somebody will give you the correct phone number.
Yes.
And you get an answering machine or you get put in a queue or you get told, leave a message, we'll call you back.
Or you can't press zero.
or you can't see the keyboard or you don't hear well enough to know what to do. And then they'll tell you, oh, well, we're not the right agency to go to, but here's the number. It's just very, very frustrating and very difficult. And I was able to do it because I put all of my energy into doing that for my mom. And just as a follow-up, here's a year later, and I will be going to New York in February to celebrate her 100th birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's still living in her own home, and we did get all of the services. And so I came back with an idea of trying to put something in place in this county, in Garfield County, that would be a way to help people access and navigate the system, navigate the bureaucracy, and get the services that they need.
what should people do now if they feel they need this help? Because right now, it's you, Nikki. You are the person who's heading this up as a volunteer.
Well, I've gotten several referrals, so I have clients that I am working with that have called into RSVP, or they have come through one of the other RSVP programs.
What have you found so far in our area that has either shocked or amazed you? And don't mince words.
There are people all around the valley that are providing services individually and through agencies, and it has amazed me that those services are available, and yet people don't always know about them.
I thank you so much for coming in, and it was great to hear from Ron first about RSVP and you layering on a new program, which is a volunteer. It's a huge undertaking, so thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us on Get Connected and our first program of 2017. Thanks also to our guests, RSVP volunteers Ron Kokish and Nikki Delson, to our Get Connected announcer Tracy Gurley, and also to KDNK Public Affairs Coordinator Amy Haddon Marsh. Tune in on the first Thursday of every month at 4:30 p.m. and find our Get Connected program anytime online at kdnk.org/public affairs.